Hare Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastama Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, page 34. Sri Rukmini said in her letter as read by the Brahmana, O beauty of the worlds, having heard of your qualities, which enter the ears of those who hear and remove their bodily distress, and having heard also heard of your beauty, which fulfills all visual desires of those who see, I have fixed my shameless mind upon you, O Krishna. Footnote 17. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura assigns this verse to Bhagavad Akramichimala, chapter 5, entitled The Essential Nature of the Energies of the Lord, Bhagavat Shakti Tattvam, which is in the Sabandha section of the Thakura's book. But so, therefore, the engagement of the senses, when it's connected to Krishna, it becomes perfect. That's the whole point, is that dealing with the senses, dealing with the energies separate from Krishna, that's illusion. But dealing with the energies of the Lord in connection with Krishna, then that's the transcendental reality. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Why would that be Sambandha? Why not Abhideya?
Because it's the position of that. Abhideya is when you apply this.
Engagement of the senses.
Yes, but the knowledge of that by engaging the senses in the Lord's service, that will be the perfection of the senses. That's Sambandha. Actually doing it, that's Abhideya. And then tasting the result of that, that's Prayojana. So here you see as Krishna's qualities are being described, and that's the attractive feature. So that's very important, is that so we can see is that how something's done. It's not saying, oh, your knowledge is so attractive or your skill is so fabulous. No, it's the qualities. Does that make sense? Because someone's very expert at anybody, at something, is that a cause for disturbance?
No.
Right? You know, have you ever seen it that, you know, there in the, how you say, in the files and all that, if we check back that, yes, 47% of all, you know, how you say, divorce proceedings are based on the principle that one party is just so good at doing what they do. Their knowledge is so good. Their application of what they do is so good. And I just can't stand it anymore. This is irreconcilable, so therefore we're divorcing. Right? No. So, that's not a problem. That's not the point. So, therefore, what's the actual attractive feature is the qualities in which it's performed. You understand? Prajumna is the attractive feature of something. Prajumna is the qualities of something. So, because Krishna has all these attractive qualities, that's why whatever he does is so nice. So it's not the knowledge and skill you have, it's the qualities you have in applying it. Just like children, do they have great knowledge and skills? No, but the qualities they have when they apply are attractive. Right? Nowadays it's all, no, the more knowledge and skill you have, the better it'll go. That's completely an illusion. Not for as far as a relationship, as far as, you know, yes, the effectiveness of getting a particular result in the way of a physical result, yes, it's true. But the point is why get this physical result if it doesn't give a good experience? Mm-hmm. Right? And so the experiential is dependent upon the qualities used. Right? If I do an expert activity in pride, or if I do an expert activity in humility, which will give the better result, the better feeling?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You understand? So it's the qualities. So we see here Rukmini is attracted by Krishna's qualities. That's the point. Does that make sense? Srila Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur comments. The Brahmana then broke the seal and showed the letter, a token of her love, which she had written in her own hand and sent to the Brahmana, to Krishna. At Krishna's request, the Brahmana then read the letter to him. So he opened the seal, showed him the letter, but Krishna said, "You please read it." Right? Because if he's reading, you might get through the letter. If Krishna reads it himself, he might get stuck on one word. Right? And it may not work out. Right? Yes. So therefore, if he reads it, then it works out nicer. This is Sridhar Swami's explanation. Krishna said, "How can I accept a forward woman who shows no shame in writing letters proposing marriage to me? A princess unseen and unheard of by me." Right? Rukmini replies, "True, you can say that, but I will express the feelings of my heart. Hearing that, you can respect or ignore it, accept or reject it, and depending on whether I obtain or do not obtain you, I will live happily, or if today or tomorrow I die. Where is the question of fear or shame? Therefore I now speak. O Achyuta, hearing about your qualities and form, my mind has lost all shame. I have become attached to you. Your qualities and form are the cause of my mind becoming shameless, and my ears as well. Therefore, the two are at fault."
We two are at fault.
We two. No, but this is...
Krishna and Rukmini both are at fault.
Okay. Therefore, you cannot criticize me, and I cannot criticize you. Okay, because you're so attractive that so therefore it's his fault. Right? The suggestion of the word achyuta is so that's the only difference. It's not that the modern context that the man's at fault, the woman's not at fault, because the man's thinking no, but sometimes you're at fault. No, you're always at fault. Then sometimes she is also. Does that make sense? Doesn't make sense. Others caught it. That here she's pointing out that Krishna's at fault and she's at fault. Generally, the women only point out how he's at fault, not how she's also at fault. And because of the affection and all that, then she's also at fault. So the point is the man's always going to be at fault. That's just a given. You have to accept that. Now it's just a matter of whether the woman will admit to taking part in that also or not. That's a detail. The suggestion of the word achyuta is, "O achyuta, my mind becoming shameless has approached you, but you are unmoved, achyuta. So now I have no idea of what you want to do." Right? So she doesn't know. She's attracted, but now it's up to Krishna and what he wants to do. Krishna said, "Other men can have attractive qualities and form, so why don't you find fault with them?" Right? They're also together. Why do you find... You're saying that I have attractive qualities and form, but you're finding fault in me. What, the others also have. Why aren't they getting at fault? That's the standard, right? Rukmini replies, "You cannot say that." Then she begins to list Krishna's qualities. Having entered the ears of attentive young women, those qualities destroy completely the pains both subtle and gross. What other man has these qualities? Your form is more attractive and sweet than the best object for people who are observant. There is an assortment of colors, blue like the sapphire or blue lotus, yellow like gold ornaments and kumkuma, red like bandhuli flowers and rubies, white like moonstone and the moon. But your sweetness and beauty is greater than all these, giving splendor to your limbs, tongue, lips, nails, and other bodily parts. Does any other person have such beauty? Therefore, she addressed Krishna appropriately. O most beautiful, both materially and spiritually, in the three worlds, in all the material and spiritual worlds. Right? So, in other words, he's the most attractive of anyone anywhere in the material or spiritual world. So then, therefore, he's at fault, not somebody else. Sri Rukmini continued, O Mukunda, you are equal only to yourself in lineage, character, beauty, knowledge, youthfulness, wealth, and influence. Right? Because no one else has these qualities, right? Yeah, what better, you know, lineage means by who's the head of the line, right? So you have, you know, Oskayana Bharata or, you know, the Yadus or like this, depending upon the great personality in the line, like that. But then Krishna is the beginning of his own line, so then, and no one's better than him, so that's the best lineage. Right, all character comes from him, so he has the best character. All beauty comes from him. All knowledge, all youthfulness, wealth, influence, they all come from him. Mm-hmm. Therefore, he has the best. Mm-hmm. O lion among men, you delight the minds of all mankind. What aristocratic, sober-minded, and marriageable girl of good family would not choose you as her husband when the proper time has come? It means if they're not these, they might choose someone else, but these ones will choose. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. Krishna said, granted, I may be the most incomparable man in the universe, but are you the only girl in the whole universe with eyes and ears? I do not see anyone else with such shamelessness. Right? Means that, you know, okay, so now you said out of all the men, then we're the outstanding man. But then of all the ladies, so many ladies, why is it only you're shameless? You know, why is it only you're coming forward like this? The others aren't, right? You know, they may be aristocratic, sober-minded, marriageable, good families, but they have not, you know, written a letter like this.
Is that not right? Hmm. Can we say that she's the only one asking Krishna to become a woman?
At this point, yes. But just she's come forward.
Yes.
The others, then, when the opportunity arises, then they do. But she's the only one that we see of all the 16,108 wives that came forward like that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like that. Others, then, he's come for the Swayamvar, different things like that, and then, or after killing, what is it? Was it Banasura?
Yes.
Narakasura. Then you had the 16,100 yes. princesses. Then they approached at that point.
Yes.
You know, so they are approaching, yes, but we see is that, like this, that he doesn't even know who the others, they're there, then they present, but here he hasn't seen her like that, and then a letter comes and like this, so then, yeah. Because they're basically on opposite sides of India, of course, depending who you ask, but, you know, like that. Probably every state has where Rukmini is from, right? You know. Like that. Rukmini replies, O Mukunda, with smile like the Kunda flower, Mukha and Kunda. Oh, Mukunda. Mukunda. Okay. Who should also smile on me, right? So that's why you can't go just into the etymology. Because otherwise we wouldn't get this, you know. Or it's like Kapi Dwaja, you know, it's what the guru of Ramanujacharya. Then he, by etymology, said the Lord's, what is it? His eyes are red like the backside of a monkey. Yeah, not exactly poetic. So Ramanuja gave a different translation. Yes. Okay. O Mukunda would smile like a Kunda flower, Mukha plus Kunda, who should also smile on me. What intelligent girl endowed with beauty and good qualities would not accept you as a husband. Only those who are ugly, without good qualities, and unintelligent, or who have not heard about you, would not accept you. Those with good qualities accept you, incomparable in qualities, beauty, knowledge, youth, and power. Like me, there are many. So, in other words, it's qualities that make the match. That's the thing, is that that's what you're connecting. So, because they have all these good qualities, they'll choose Krishna, because he has all good qualities. Right, so that's the Vedic principle. It's about equalness in qualities. Mm-hmm. Right? Those with good qualities accept you, incomparable in qualities, beauty, knowledge, youth, wealth, and power. Like me, there are many other girls who will accept you when their times come. But now it is my time. Yes. Like that. Yeah, so he's saying, why aren't all these other girls there? He says, their time hasn't come yet. This is my time. Because it's otherwise, she's going to be married in a couple of days. So this is the time, right? You know? Yeah. O lion among men, Nrisimha, who is uncontrollable like a lion, I have no desire to control you. Your incomparable beauty and qualities play in the minds of all humans. So what fault is there if you also reside in my mind? Right? Since he's the all-attractive one, he's in everybody's mind. Right? He controls all living entities. So what's the fault if she's also controlled by Krishna? Right.
When Krishna addresses Rukmini over here, you know, twice as being shameless, it means that it is okay that if she is shameless because she is speaking of Krishna, whatever it may be. But then otherwise it is not Vedic for a woman to propose a man. That is what it means.
It's one of the four kinds of recommended marriages. It's not the first, it's the third. Right. The first is the parents arrange it, you know, like that. But if they can't arrange it and then she finds someone, then and then they approve of that, then that's also, that's one of them. Right? And then the fourth, then the boy, he makes the arrangement. He approaches. You know, so the modern standard is the boy has to approach. Right? It means the girl may make the arrangements, but it's considered official when the boy approaches. So they always go by that fourth aspect of marriage. And then it should be that the father agrees. If not, they elope, then that's rakshasa or anything like that. Yeah, that's about the only other one they use. That makes sense. So it's not your common aspect. But Krishna is just playing on this. That's all. He's not finding a fault. It's just cause for discussion. That's all. Sri Rukmini continued, "Therefore, my dear Lord, I have chosen you as my husband, and I surrender myself to you. Please come swiftly, O Almighty One, and make your wife, and make me your wife. My dear lotus-eyed Lord, let Shishupal never touch the hero's portion, like a jackal stealing the property of a lion." Right. So here, even the aspect of Nrisimha, they can still see it in this, in their relationship. Right. Does that make sense? But this is Nrisimha in relationship, not Nrisimha not in relationship. Does that make sense? So that's why the Ugra forms of Nrisimha, those aren't worshipped by girls, because he's not in a relationship. But if it's any form of Lakshmi Nrisimha, then that can be worshipped. So it's not that you don't appreciate and worship as a deity, but the direct worship themselves they don't do. Does that make sense? Because it's about relationship. Does that make sense? So here is that because he is Krishna, he's Nrisimha, and therefore has the aspect of Lakshmi, she as Lakshmi is approaching. Because there is the aspect of rasa there. But when you're dealing with him as Ugra, in the Ugra forms, then there isn't that aspect of interacting with the feminine nature. So that's why then girls don't worship those forms directly. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah? Clear? Means, in other words, worship is done through pujaris. You don't do it yourself. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments, "Since I am attracted to you, I therefore have chosen you as my husband. It is not just now, but from the first." It means from the beginning. It's not. It means the first time she heard she chose, not that she's just choosing now. Like that. "Both my soul and body have been offered to your lotus feet. I have sent this letter to inform you of my mental state. If you accept me, I will maintain my life, and if you reject me, I will burn myself up. I will not give myself to anyone else, even if Brahma himself were to ask. But my offering myself to you is not like the surrender of Balimaj, which was near bhava, without intense love. Right? Because he, in this case, she's saying that he did, it's the proper thing to do, it's his duty. Mm-hmm. He surrendered. Mm-hmm. So, you know, of course, there is, otherwise why it's accepted, but mm-hmm. it's not, it doesn't have the intensity mm-hmm. that is here in the conjugal rasa. So she's pointing out is that that surrender is there, but in this full of devotion and this desire, right? With that intention, she says, accept me as your wife, right? So that's the point, is that the intensity is there, therefore it would take on that position. If someone gives someone food, if someone gives someone some food and says, you should eat this, that is near bhava. But my surrender is swabhava, touched by with prema and thus superior. You should quickly send back the brahmana with a reply so that I know whether you accept me or not, so that Shishupal will not take the share meant for you. Being moistened by this one hope, my body does not burn up. If Shishupal comes and touches me, then with the destruction of hope for attaining you, the fire of separation will blaze up and burn my body. My fear, however, is that you will become infamous. Shishupal will take your share like a jackal stealing from a lion. That impudence towards you will be broadcast everywhere. O lotus-eyed Lord, my body, though burning in the fire of separation from you, does not feel pain because I meditate on your lotus eyes. Because it's the family, they want, she's taking that position because she wants to marry him. Her family members want her to marry him. It's just Rukmi. And so therefore, it will be broadcast in that way. Right? It's not that she'll just get married and that's like that. It'll be broadcast that Rukmi made this arrangement that they wanted to marry Krishna. I said no, he's marrying Shishupal. And Shishupal, yeah, they were all saying about, they wouldn't have been that I married her. You understand? Because you're dealing with this false ego there. So that will be known. So she's pointing that out. It's improper. That shouldn't happen. Srila Jiva Goswami comments to verse 39 in the Bhakti Sandarbha. Atma Nivedanam is discussed. This means offering to the Lord alone everything from the body up to the Atma. The action is devoid of actions for the self, offering to the Lord one's sadhana and sadhya, doing everything only for the Lord. Right? So sadhana means one's activities, sadhya means the goal. What's your purpose of that? So that means your qualities, the mood, is that of devotion to Krishna. Mm-hmm. Doing everything only for the Lord. This is an offering of the self to the Lord. The seller of a cow does not perform actions for maintaining the cow which is already sold to someone else. The new owner takes care of the cow. The cow works for the new owner, not for the seller. Rukmini expresses offering the self. Some consider offering the body to be atmarpanam. Right? But it has to be, no, it's the whole consciousness and everything. Mm-hmm. Right, so that's the whole point, is that we surrender to Krishna, so Krishna takes care. Right? Because if we're taking care, then that means the body's ours. But if it's Krishna, so we're just doing the service that's required to do for Krishna, the activities recommended by the acharyas for someone who's fully surrendered. And then whatever comes in that process, that's how we're taking care. Right? Does that make sense? So it's that's then what it means. But otherwise, then we make the endeavors ourselves to take care of ourselves, and then whatever comes from that endeavor, we take care. Right? Because it's not that if we take care, we get results, and if Krishna takes care, there's not. Mm-hmm. Because the point is we can make all our endeavor and not get what we're looking for. Right? So that's the whole point, is that what's going to happen is up to the Lord anyway. So whether we're making the endeavor or Krishna's arranging it, then it's going to come out to be the same because it's his approval. So we perform the activities that are recommended. So Grihastha has an occupation for taking care, but that's because Krishna recommends it. He's doing it. So he's doing it as service to Krishna, not as this is how I'm maintaining myself. Understand? So the same work is going on. But the difference is, it's just like you cook for yourself. There's no guarantee that once it's cooked, you're going to get to eat it. Because just at that time, then the doorbell rings, you go to the door, there's a guest there, and the kids came downstairs and went, oh, wow, and took it upstairs. Right? It's no guarantee because you cooked it, you eat it. So in the same way as you cook for Krishna, then you'll get something or not, that's still up to Krishna. But the idea is, no, if I do it, it's guaranteed. And if Krishna does it, maybe or maybe it doesn't happen. No, it's not guaranteed in any case. It's up to Krishna. So that's the difference on whether I think I'm the one doing this or I'm just doing my duties. So the activities don't change, but the mentality is different. That's the whole point. Does that make sense? Just like the cow does the same thing, whether it's with this owner or that owner. Cow's stuff is the same. It's just who gets the benefit. Right? So if it's for Krishna, then that means we become satisfied. You know, watering the root, then the leaves become satisfied. When we try to take care of ourselves, we're never satisfied. Right? They maintain the body, but we're not satisfied. But if Krishna takes care, then the body's maintained and we're satisfied. That's the difference. Just as a purchased animal does not think of its protection, a person who offers his body to the Lord gives up protecting himself. Bhakti Viveka. Some say that it means offering the pure Atma to the Lord. Whoever I may be, either a soul inhabiting the body and other material elements, or a deva or a human body made of the gunas, today I offer that, I, to your lotus feet. Stotra Ratnam 49, Yamunacharya. Yeah, it means whatever I may be, I offer myself to you. Right? Atman Ivedanam is seen in two forms, without a specific bhava and with a specific bhava. Atman Ivedanam with Madhurya bhava is seen in Rukmini's words above. Right, so that has the specific bhava. Otherwise, it was general before, it's just the proper thing to do. Right? But, you know, it has that devotion, it's directed to the Lord, but this is specific. So then it has that Madhurya Bhava, so therefore then that's what's seen. Yes?
There was a Maharaj Bali. He offered himself. He's
yes.
Considered the Atman Nivedana.
Yes.
Can we say that he also did it with Dasya Bhava?
That may be, but the point is that Dasya is a, you can say in this context, a generic term, because everyone is servant. Right? Means all living entities are servants of the Lord. So he's done it in a generic way, simply in that mood of service. But she's saying hers is therefore with the specifics of intense love, and which means the Madhurya Bhava. So in that way, she's saying that that's generic and this is specific. Does that make sense? Because you're looking at, it is a rasa, but at the same time, his servitorship is what all devotees have.
That's my point, that not everybody offers themselves to the Lord as Bali did or as Sri did.
No, that's there. What I'm saying is that of service, then that's a great thing. But what she's pointing out is within the Atmani Vedanam, that was a generic, because he, as a devotee, being servant of the Lord, naturally he surrenders to the Lord. But it didn't have a specific flavor of the in this case, the Madhurya Bhava. Like the Madhurya Prema, Madhurya, Vatsalya, and Sakya, those are specific. Like that. While Dasya, that's generic. That's the meaning here. But it's not that it's not glorious Bali Maharaj's surrender, because I think is when it comes to Atmani Vedanam, he's the example. Like that. So, because what you can mean surrender means the body, that means whatever comes with the body. And for him, he controlled the universe. So that means his offering was greater than anybody's. Like that. So that's there. But here is because it's specific. So she's pointing out this is a specific. So his was just generic, that he surrendered and that he's the Lord and that's going to just maintain at that point. But hers saying, hers is specific. It's Madhurya. Therefore, he should accept her as his wife. Right? Rather than just a devotee.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So that's what she's trying to point out. It's not that this is just a letter showing appreciation. She's trying to point out that this means he should come and accept her as his wife, you know, and Shishupal should not. Right? Does that make sense?
And very quick.
Yes, and very quickly. Yes. Okay, Sri Rukmini continued. I have sufficiently worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead by pious works, sacrifices, charity, rituals, and vows, and also by worshipping the demigods, brahmanas, and gurus. Then, if I have, okay, then may Gadadgraja come and take my hand, and not Dhammaghosha's son or anyone else. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. A most difficult to attain person. You cannot be attained simply by the good acts of one birth. If I have performed pious acts in previous lives, whether with a desire to attain you or without a desire to attain you, let the results now come in the form of attaining you. This is my prayer. If I have worshipped the Lord profusely by digging wells, purta, by sacrifices, ishta, by offerings to the Lord, dana, by regulations, niyama, such as bathing in holy places, by observing bratas like Ekadasi, by worship of devas, brahmanas, and gurus, which are angas of worship of the Lord himself, then may the human Lord, elder brother of Gada, come here and accept me, a human, in marriage, and not anyone else, either Narayan or any devata or any human. Right, so just this particular form of Krishna, this is who she wants to marry. But not any other form. Yeah. So it's just that these things take time. So, in other words, if this lifetime we've come to the position of faith, so that means that there's how many lifetimes there is of Agyata Sukriti to get to that. Then that's there. Does that make sense? Just like you come in contact with the devotees and one has faith. Right? That means there has to be so much Agyata Sukriti for that to happen, because we see so many other people come in contact with Krishna consciousness and don't develop the faith to surrender. So that means it's just, it hasn't gone to that volume yet. So maybe later in this life, if they're regularly meeting devotees, or maybe it'll be next life, who knows when it will be. That's why not knowing, one shouldn't risk it. If there's an opportunity to surrender, take advantage of that, one should do that, because otherwise then you don't know how long something will take. Right? But having gotten that faith, one can in one lifetime go back to Godhead. But how many lifetimes it took to get to this point, that we can't say. Right? And so if we take it seriously, then in one life we can go back to Godhead. Right? And if not, then you don't worry. You can take however many you like that. Yes?
So it doesn't have to be necessarily specific. It could be a general surrender, and then with that, going back to Godhead.
Yes, but the specifics have to come at some point.
It could be later.
Could be later. But there's the general of just surrendering to Krishna, that we are servants of Krishna. Yeah. That's the general thing. And for us, then we've been given by Lord Chaitanya that surrender in the mood of the Brajavasis. That means that complete surrender to Krishna. So that's there. Then with time, as we see is in the second part, Varnadasa means getting adjusted to the specifics of a particular relationship. Just like here, we surrender and then adjust to the particulars of engaging our conditioning in the Lord's service. Right? So that's Varnadasa on the condition platform. And then Smarnadasa we try to remember. But then when we come to the, you know, being situated in the spiritual platform, Then it takes on the details of that specific platform. But that general aspect of surrender to Krishna in the mood of the Brajavasis, that remains. That doesn't change. That's not going to change. And the element of engaging your nature, whatever it is, in Krishna's service, that doesn't change. You're remembering Krishna. It's just the detail of what is the spiritual form, that comes to light. Does that make sense? So the surrender is done, can be done right from the beginning, because surrender starts, you know, from the Shravana Dasa. Like we see here, she's only heard, she's surrendered. Does that make sense? So Shravana Dasa is then where it all starts. Does that make sense? And these details come later. That's the difficulty with Sahaji, is they reverse it. But no, there's that first, there's the surrender, then there's the detail. Just like we have the generic concept, I'm the controller and enjoyer, then there's the specific. You know, I have this upadi, that upadi. Right? Well, here is the generic, I surrender to Krishna, and then there's this surup, that surup. Yes?
Because if we take Shikshastaka, for example, the first part is very generic.
Yes.
It's for everybody.
Yes.
And then it goes a little bit into specific.
Yes. But the point is it's still that element of surrender. Because on one level, that is just Braja Bhakti. Right? So that aspect there, everybody can appreciate. All eight prayers.
Right.
Like that. Though it does have that flavor of a more specific. But the point is the generic element of Braja, the surrender of Braja, that can be accepted by all. Then you have the specifics of relationships. So that's what she's pointing out here, is that the generic element of service, that has been done in Bali Maharaj, is glorious in that. But her surrender is in a specific flavor. Therefore, she is asking him to reciprocate based on that flavor. Yes.
So is there any need for us to study works of the acharyas when they express specific mood, their own mood?
There's no need that we have to. Because the point is that she just heard about the glories of Krishna. She would have heard them in the court or from Narad Muni, so they would have been discussed in their generic sense. And that brought about this attraction. So it's not that it's necessary that you have to study these things and then only... You know what I'm saying? Because it means they can be read and they don't mean anything. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, let's say, the younger brother goes into the sister's room and finds, you know, one of these, like Vogue magazine or something like that. Is it, you know, he'll look at it and go, what's this? Like that. Does that make sense? Yes, yeah, so it's not going to... You can read through, one will catch some details of past times and that. It's very attractive and nice. So from that aspect, there's no loss in reading them. But it just means what one will pick up from them will just be certain secondary details. Does that make sense? But the point is as the heart becomes purified and that surrender deepens, then one might take on that primary aspect of the particular kind of attraction one has towards Krishna. You understand? So that will happen naturally. Does that make sense? That's the whole thing. It will happen naturally. So it's not that the forms of it, like here, we're reading these kind of things. So from this, then we see that surrender she has, that she's taking that step forward towards Krishna. That kind of aspect, then we can learn from here and ourselves try to apply into our life. But the detail of being a queen in Dwarka or a maidservant in Dwarka, that's not the point that's taken. Does that make sense? So it doesn't awaken that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So in other words, there's no fault in it as long as one's read, you know, the Prabhupada's books and these main works, then these side things, they're details of this. Like the, you know, what you're mentioning is different books that may discuss about these different moods of the devotees and their specific rasa. Those are generally... details, you can say, of, how you say, 10th canto, nectar devotion, you know, aspect, Chaitanya Charitamrita, they're just details of that. So if the generic didn't mean anything, the detail won't mean anything either. Mm-hmm. As the generic starts to have more meaning, then the detail will have more meaning. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, by reading, there's no problem. Like, we're reading 10th canto and it has the Panchajaya in it. But it's not that by reading that it necessarily invokes or awakens a particular attraction to Krishna. But it awakens a generic attraction to surrender to Krishna. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So that's the whole point, is that, in other words, one can read, but it's not that one has to read. Some will say, no, you have to read these things. These are Vaidhi sadhakas. They say stuff like that. You understand? Mm-hmm. But the point is these things, if they're read and they have that meaning, then it's there. They're saying, no, by reading this, it will awaken it. But the point is no, the love for Krishna is just, you hear about Krishna. You hear the word Mukunda, and they see it as Muka and Kunda. Or Nrsingha, O best, O lion of men. You know, it's just like when, what is it? Kubja. Right? He's sitting on the bed, she comes and shyly standing there, and he just reaches out, grabs her, and pulls her, and sits down. That's Nrsingha. That's O lion among men. Do you understand? So they're getting this from this. So we're thinking, no, it has to be specifically the conjugal, and then get, no. The conjugal aspect sees everything as conjugal. Parental sees everything as parental. Friendship sees everything as that. And dasya sees everything as servitor. Does that make sense? Then if these things come along, you read and inspires, then nice. But it's not that it's a sadhana, you have to do this. Mm-hmm. That people will say that, but it's not actually. Does that make sense?
Because when you previously mentioned about Shravan Das, can we, like, form like this, can we actually say it's a Shravan Das on a certain level, not on the left
side? No, it is. It all means by those coming from that side, that's how they see it. Because as we said, bhava extends down to shraddha. That's what's going on. That's why then there's some taste there. That's why there's an attraction. It's so that when it comes to that point and one actually is able to appreciate, then you get that faith. That's because that element of bhava is there. So generally it'll be on that Shravana Dasa. We've heard about who's the soul, who is Krishna, the material world, the relationship. And that answers questions we have. It makes sense. We get faith. But it's bhava that's extended down to there. But because it's in such a small form, we don't call it bhava. We call it shraddha. And then there's a little bit more, then we call it sadhusanga. And a little bit more, we call it bhajana kriya. Does that make sense? So only when it comes to the point of ruchi, then we say that that's an extension in its natural form. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's the full form, just in a very small amount. You know, it's just like a drop. You know, and then shakti will be a little bit more, and then you have bhava will be more, and then prema is the most. Does that make sense? But those first three, those extend all the way down. Right? But the apandastan and the... what's the last one?
Sampatidasa.
Those are only practiced in bhava sadhana itself. You know, on the platform of bhava. But the other three, it has the full form in bhava, but otherwise they extend down into sadhana bhakti. Does that make sense?
Because it appears that there are two opinions going parallel. Some devotees say, and take example from the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali, saying that unless you're perfect on previous level, you can come to the next level. And the other one is, as you explained, is a bhava extending, and then we can practice on the lower levels, something higher to a certain extent.
Yes.
So what would be the difference? Because some people say, you know, it's like, you know, nishta, it's like almost, you know, bhav sadhana. But then others
say... No, it's madhyama. It's a steadiness. The point is it's very, it's advanced devotional service. Like we mentioned, it's Uttama Shraddha. You know, when we're taking it into Kamal, Madhyama, and Uttama. It's in that, but it's the lowest level of Uttama Shraddha. In other words, pure devotional service, that's Uttama Shraddha. Now, in pure devotional service, that can start at the Madhyama platform and then go up. Just because one's Madhyama doesn't necessarily mean, but that's where it can start from. And so then it goes up from there. But you have that faith, you have that, you're steady. So now whether you have a more specific attraction to serving Krishna, or it's still a generic at that platform, at the Madhyama platform, it doesn't matter. Right? Because in any case, by the time one gets to Surup Siddhi, at that point it becomes specific. But before that, or like say Surup, because Surup Siddhi is then when you can actually, how you can say Apan Dasa Surup Siddhi, you know, because now you can actually apply it and function in that in the Lord's pastime. So Surup is there, and then that's Surup Siddhi. Right? And then when one comes to the point of prema, that's Vastu Siddhi, because then you inherit that, now that's the position you function from. So you have all these aspects, is that, yes, you can take it like that, and it may work very well, but the point is that the process, because as Prabhupada points out, sugar is sweet no matter where you start. If you have a bowl of sugar, it doesn't matter which site you start from, it has... But at the same time, there is certain things, the mechanics that have to build. But here, that's why Prabhupada then translated Krishna book quite early. You can hear about it. But he did give it with the natural stages that are required from the first 9 cantos. So then you can appreciate it and go through. So it's a matter of you hear about that, then that fixes your mind that that's the goal you want. But at the same time, you have to deal with the practicalities of where you are. So it's not that it's one or the other. They're both the same thing. It's just that if we don't understand they're the same thing, then we make it into two. Right? In other words, we understand the whole range, but we have to function at where we are now and move forward. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
so they're both going on at once. You can't say, you've only done this, but how do you move forward unless you've heard about that there's something beyond that? At the same time, as you say, if one says that you're just hearing about and it extends down, but is there no practice? Right? So until one gets to bhava, it is sadhana bhakti. So there is practice and you move through the stages naturally. You know, so therefore it moves up through shraddha to prema. But it's not that these other aspects aren't there. Right? So, in other words, there is some taste in Krishna consciousness, even for the beginning devotee. But the volume of it, you don't call it taste. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's what we mean, is that it's just... But when it gets to that where the volume and the conscious thing is the taste in Krishna consciousness, then it's called ruchi. And then you continue like that, you become attached to that taste, so then it's called asakti. And then that attachment, that absorption then creates ecstasy, then it's called bhava. Is that nice? Yeah. So you have all these things, but depending upon the context, then you place them accordingly. So that's the thing, is because of context, there's overlapping definitions. So that's why the context has to be there. Otherwise, then you don't actually know what they're talking about. Does that make sense? Because the principle is that, you know, in prema, I mean in bhava, then you can be a neophyte in bhava, or a madhyaman bhava, or uttaman bhava. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It means each level has been divided into three. I mean, you can keep going, but at least, you know, three gives you an idea. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, so therefore, someone just has that that faith, that they're adjusting and all that, so then you would say that that's what, you know, up to samadhi, that would be a neophyte within the bhav sadhana. Right? Once they come to samadhi and they're able to take part and come to apandas, you would call that a madhyama. And then they come to sampatti, that's an uttama within the same. You know, so everything has that. You can divide that like that. You know, so even you're taking nishta, the first part of nishta looks a bit like the last part of anartha nivritti. The middle part, that'll be just nishta. And then the upper third, that will look a bit like ruchi. So now and again, we're getting that taste and all that. Does that make sense? So you're always going to have that. And then within ruchi, then the first third will look like the last part of that, but it's more. So the taste is more, but it's not as much as, right? And then the later stages, you start to become attached. But it's not, the volume isn't great. You don't call it attachment, you call it ruchi. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense? So like that, and then when it just continues through. So that's the way it works. Is that? Yeah. Okay. Sri Rukmini continued, "O unconquerable one, tomorrow when my marriage ceremony is about to begin..." Yes, you can only write this letter to the Supreme Lord. This is tomorrow, and he's on one side of India, she's on the other side, so therefore. "You should arrive unseen in Vidarbha and surround yourself with the leaders of your army. Then crush the forces of Chaidya and Magadendra and marry me in the Rakshasa style, winning me with your valor." So that means she's a princess. She knows all these things. It's not that they haven't heard about or studied the Shastras that deal with all these things. It's just that then they can discuss these things and all that. Because, I mean, who wants to go out there? It means go out into battle, it messes up your sari. You know, your cudgel gets messed up. You know, your ornaments like that. You know, it's a trip. Therefore, the men will do that, but you can talk about it. Like that. You have to...
Give them direction.
Sorry?
You can give them direction.
Yeah, you can give them direction. That's what she's doing here. You should come unseen so that nobody knows you're there, surrounded by your forces, and then in the Rakshasa style, she says, like that. Like that. And then she'll give even detail of how, like that. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments. Krishna said, "True, I accept you according to your past pious actions. But what should I do now that you have been given to Shishupal in marriage?" Right? Because now it's about that. Okay, even I accept you, but you've been promised to Shishupal. Now what should I do? Rukmini then shows him a method. "You cannot be defeated by anyone, Ajita, and therefore in the upcoming wedding, first you should enter the city unseen, without troops. And having entered the city, you can surround yourself with the army to show your strength. If you do not do this, then it will be difficult to enter the city quickly, for outside the city, troops will be ready to fight with you." After entering, right, so he has to enter the city unseen. Otherwise, his troops outside, he comes up with his armies and is seen, they'll fight outside. He won't get, you know, then. You know, so he should come in without, and then you bring your people in. Right? "After entering the city, however, you can say that you have come to see the spectacular wedding, and the army will have no reason for fighting with you." So once you've said that, now you can bring your army in. Right? Because everybody else has their army, you bring yours. Right? Yeah. "Then at your leisure you can take me away. If the evil fearsome troops agitate to fight with you near Mantya, you can show your bravery, just as you received Lakshmi from the churning near Mantana of the milk ocean. Suddenly snatch me away, the reward for your show of strength." Yes.
It sounds a bit like she doesn't give him a lot of space for it. It's like every detail.
"But my offering of myself to you is not like the surrender of Balimach, which was near Baba without intense love." So that's the principle of intensity. Is that all detail is worked out. And then at the point, then you work out the practical application of the detail. Yes.
And even she said before that, I don't want to control you.
Yes. she's just showing the principles that are there. These are the options that are there. Because she knows the scene, so therefore she's presenting. So she's doing it in a mood of service. Is that this is, Krishna might ask, so she's saying these are the situations, so therefore, you know, according to the Kshatriya position, you would be able to take care of all this. But when he goes to do it, it's not that she's sitting there and telling him what to do. Then he's applying it. Though when they do leave, she is driving the chariot, you know, and he's fighting. So, point is, it's a balance. Yes.
So whenever the intensity increases, it means one person dominates over the other.
When intensity increases, one person dominates over the other. But then the other intensity comes up, so it always switches. It's just a matter of what's favorable at the time.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Because
the point is that unless means it's basically like this. This is the intensity that you're working at, right? Now, if the man can pull out more intensity than that, then the woman is happy. But otherwise, if she pulls up this much intensity and he can't match that, or better it, then she won't be happy. That's why the guy's got to be fantastic, you know, like that, because, you know, it matches, but he has to be more than her. Right? In other words, she's the best, but he has to be better. But he can't say he's better. He just has to be. So, in other words, the existence element, right? The Sankarshan element, he is better. But in the Prajumna, Aniruddha, and Vasudev, those ones, then it's always this, what do you call it? This dynamic. Does that make sense? They're otherwise known as, by Narad Muni, at the Battle of Love. Does that make sense? So that's why in the material world, it doesn't have as much taste. Due to not having anything else, then we become absorbed in this. But it doesn't have the taste of that in the spiritual world, because here it's being self-centered. There's the cooperation, but it still is about oneself. While in the spiritual world, then it's just about Krishna. So it doesn't have any of those, the anomalies that it has here. So that's why at some point, that's why the idea of vanaprastha is the husband and wife see that this whole, you know, how you say, the battle of the sexes, you know, has its limitations on how much taste you get out of it. So now it's a devotional service is the real thing. But because they have been cooperating so much for so long, it's easier to cooperate and just focus on Krishna than to function separately. Does that make sense? If it's not, then separately then they'll function as vanaprasthas. Or partially together, partially separate, you know, whatever works for the particular couple. Does that make sense? So that's because one's seen that this intensity has its limit to what you can gain from it. So as long as there's that interest, one involves oneself in it and one engages in Krishna service. But at what point it's not, then one it's put on the side. And then it's just a matter of companions. You know each other. You can work together very nicely. You've already worked out what you do, what they do, then everything like this. And so it works very comfortably. Does that make sense? So you save time. You're able to do nice things for Krishna. Yes.
Because if we take this scenario in the material world, she remains unmarried, basically. She remains on her own because she's like...
Oh, lion among men. In other words, she's this intense because she's a princess. Of all the princesses, she's the best. So that means she's going to be the most intense when it comes to this. But then who's the match? A prince. And who's the best prince? So Krishna. So that way they're the best match. So that's the whole point, is that that's why the qualities are looked at. That's why that's most important. And so then you match the qualities, because then the intensity of the qualities the kind of qualities and the intensity of the qualities, if those match, then it will be suitable for the particular individuals. Does that make sense?
Because we've seen practically, you know, people getting into relationships and they think that they have a potential to develop those qualities that you're talking about.
Yes, yes.
But actually some they are and some they're not there at all.
Yes. That's why it should be developed before marriage. And then you cultivate it and practice. You know, it's just like you learn to drive the car before you actually have to drive, before you have the license. And then you can become better and better at it. But you have to learn how to drive before. So that's the idea, is that you have to and as we said, it's the character, so you have to develop the character beforehand. Nowadays, it's the popular, you know, atheistic principle is that, no, boys and girls have to associate, otherwise they won't know, and they won't know this and that. See, so many marriages that were, you know, organized, arranged, didn't work, and that, so they have to associate. But what they're missing out on is basically 75% of the ones that weren't arranged or failed. And they can't say that 75% of the ones that were arranged did fail. So it's just an attachment to a particular method that they're used to. In other words, I do things the way I'm used to because I'm the controller. So therefore it works out. Well, if I leave it up to Krishna and the Shastra and Vedic culture, then I don't know that, so I don't have faith. So that's what we mean by Kamal Shraddha. We don't have faith in the scriptures. Like that. Though we that's why nowadays if we put the emphasis on knowledge and skills, you can't actually tell if someone's advanced or not. Because their position in the society is about their knowledge and skills. Well, it actually should be about their advancement in devotional service. Right? It means you have positions of authority, a temple president's a temple president. You know, or something like this. That you have. You're going to have, that's the social. But it's like trying to replace the devotional. Does that make sense? And so then that's a problem. When it's actually the devotional is how much faith you have. And the knowledge and skills you can have more or less. That's depending upon your ability, your practice, and everything like that. Because you won't have more than what you have when you have the ability for. So therefore, the character that's required in marriage, that's what's trained before. But that character that's required in marriage is the same character that's required for anything. To be good in an occupation, to be good in a social situation, to be good in a devotion, you need the same character. Mm-hmm. Because bhakti is the original, and karma and jnana are simply the knowledge and activities of bhakti without bhakti. Right? So therefore, the character required in bhakti is the character required for karma and jnana. So that's why the training before marriage, that's where it's trained. Not that you learn how to hang out with boys and girls. That doesn't work. It really just doesn't work. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premana ki.
This was sent by your disciple from Kazakhstan. I don't know her name.
Ananda Vidana.
They are coming, yes, I guess. Oh, okay. She sent it through somebody and...
That somebody came to you.
Because they rent from us, so same building.